God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text for today is coming from our Old Testament reading from Isaiah chapter 1, beginning with verse 10. The title of the message for today is Play Acting. Many of you probably have seen a stage production or a movie in which actors and actresses portray a character. And so when an actor or an actress takes the stage, they assume this character, even though this character is not their own. They may have a lot of passion. They may even win awards. They may even make lots of money doing so. But the real life of the person is completely different than what you see on the stage or in the movie. Today's text from Isaiah actually has some play acting going on in it. Unfortunately, the acting isn't good, but bad. Because the person that they are trying to perform for is God, and he's not amused. The reason why is because they are going beautifully through the motions. They are doing everything perfectly, but their heart is not in it. They are acting. The problem is, and this is why it's bad, is God doesn't take a look at the exterior acting, doesn't necessarily take a look at the passion or how good the costume is, or whether they've won awards or have made lots of money. He's looking at the heart. What's inside the heart? Our text from Isaiah has some very specific actions going on. You have the people of Israel doing sacrifices. You have the people of Israel doing offerings. You have the people of Israel in verse 15... He talks about when you spread out your hands, and this is in reference to prayer, because this is the position of prayer. We're offering our prayers to God. God is saying, I'm going to hide my eyes from you. I'm not going to listen. Why? Because they're going through the motions, and they're doing it perfectly, except their heart isn't in it. God here challenges the people of Israel and basically says, you're wasting your time. Don't do this. It's a waste of your time and my time. The reason why the waste of time is there is because your heart isn't really in it. And so verse 18, that last verse, is sort of the key here. God's sort of saying, okay, let's talk about what's going on here. Come now, let's reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. Here God is giving them the gospel message. They will be changed. They will be made clean. But how? Is it by what they do? The answer is no. It's by what's in their heart. What do they believe? What do they trust? We have sometimes may have a hard time with this concept. You would think that God would want to destroy them because of their lack of faith. This is true. God does indeed want to destroy them. God demands perfection. And you might be saying, but they were going through all the perfect motions. But no one is perfect. And because no one is perfect, God does want to destroy them. But Christ is the one who intercedes for them and for us. Even though Christ hadn't yet taken on flesh and blood according to our physical timeline, faith in the work, the promised work of the Messiah, still is needed. Yes, they can go through all the external appearances of being children of God, doing all the right things at the right time, but if the heart does not truly believe in the promises of God, does not truly believe that, yes, the Messiah will come, the Messiah will suffer and die, the Messiah will take away our sins, then there is no hope for them. Faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the key. It's not about being in the right place at the right time. It's about trusting in the Christ, Jesus, the Messiah. Today, the church celebrates Reformation Day, the day in which Martin Luther nailed 95 theses, points of discussion for the church to debate, on the church door in Wittenberg. Luther notes that the doctrine of justification, that is, God's grace given to you via faith, is the doctrine that the church will stand by or fall. We are reminded that we are declared righteous before God only because of what Christ has done, not through our own performance. It doesn't matter how many times you come here to church at Trinity, you cannot atone for your sin. It is Christ who dies on the cross, Christ who bears the punishment of our sins, Christ who gives this to you as a free gift by God's grace through faith. If it was about our performance, then we are acting. And by our own actions, we would get credit. How good of a performance can you do? I will admit, when I was in high school, I was in some drama productions. My performance was average at best. I wasn't that good. But now, would I want my salvation to be determined on that? The answer is no. I want my salvation for me guaranteed. Not on how well I do, because what if I make a mistake? And I did make a mistake on stage. That would have cost me eternal life. I am so glad that we have a Savior who takes on flesh and blood, who takes on my place and goes to the cross and makes it perfect and makes it complete. Because if it was up to me, I would mess it up. Thanks be to God. It's not up to my performance. It's by what God has done. This is what Isaiah is trying to communicate to the people of Israel. And by the way, this justification by grace through faith is not some New Testament concept. Some people would say, isn't that something that Paul invented or Jesus invented? The answer is no. It was already promised in the Old Testament. If you want proof to that, you can go to the Old Testament book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4. The righteous shall live by faith. Paul picks up on this Old Testament truth for you and for me. In Romans chapter 1, verse 17, he says, for in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. And it is God who gives that righteousness, does that righteousness by God's grace through faith. We have it. Now back to the people of Israel for a moment. God was not happy with their performance. Their heart wasn't in it. God focuses upon the heart, not the action. Nothing wrong with passion, as long as you have the passion for the Christ. We're not going to get some Academy Awards in the Christian life. Instead, we put our faith and trust in what Christ has done. Our justification does not depend on our piety or our spiritual performance, but upon what Christ has done and his performance. This is why when we come and we gather here on Sunday morning, we call this the divine service. Who's the one doing the service? Who's the one doing the motion? Who's the one doing the action? It is God who is doing it, the divine. As one of my favorite authors, John Kleinick, puts it, we are beggars. And so we come before the divine begging. We are in need of God's grace. In the Kyrie, we say, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We need that mercy. In the Gloria in Excelsis, we stand before God together with the angels, and we ask Jesus to intercede for us with them there. And in the Agnus Dei, which we're getting to, we come before Christ in need of mercy, and we say, have mercy and give us peace. And then Christ does give us peace. He gives of himself his own body and blood with this bread and wine to give us that peace. We ask, he gives. That's the relationship here in the divine service. The divine, again, is serving you. It's not about the motions, whether you stand up at the right time. It's not if you say the exact word at the exact beat or the exact note. It's about Christ and what he gives to you. It isn't about acting. It's actually about begging. We receive the gifts of Christ Jesus. And once we receive those gifts, now we are free. We are free to go and be alive, free from sin, free from the burden of having to be perfect, free now to do something. Because when a person is acting, part of it is in their performance for their own personal gratification. Yeah, it's kind of nice if other people appreciate it. But most actors and actresses want to get paid, don't they? There's a lot who make a lot of money at it. But when we're freed from that self-serving idea, we are able to be freed to do other things. And that's where verse 17 comes in. I didn't forget about it. Verse 17 reminds us to do what? 10 through 16 was, you guys, your heart isn't in it. Verse 18, here's the gospel message. Jesus Christ does it for you, so to speak. Your sins are forgiven so that you can back up a verse. I know it sounds like a weird order, but it fits. 17 says, learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead the widow's cause. All these things are a response of being freed. All these things are a response of the divine coming to us, touching us with his own body and blood, with his own word, to free us from sin so that we in turn can go and do verse 17. Today we remember Reformation Day. Noting the doctrine of justification by God's grace through faith, this is the doctrine that the church stands or falls by. If we think that it's play acting by what we do, we will fail. We will fall. But if we understand that we have already fallen and failed because of our sin, that we need Christ who forgives and restores, now we're under the idea that Martin Luther was trying to teach to the church some almost 500 years ago. This is God's grace given to you to free you from the burden of sin. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.